Okay, good morning. We'll make a start. Thank you for coming out. I'm glad that the weather is nice this morning. Before we'll see what it brings this afternoon. Welcome to those who are on Zoom. It may be just a touch early to encourage everybody to come back in great numbers, but hopefully it's not too early to begin thinking about that. And certainly there's a lot of room here, and people will be very welcome to come back live. It's always great to see people in person, but you're very welcome, and it's great to see you on Zoom as well. The Shirim are sponsored this year for the academic year 2022, anonymously and very kindly, Le'ilu Nishmois, Brana Bas Bendit, and Zelig Ben Kalman. They should have an aliyah for the Neshamas. Now, last week, we had a very adventurous, if you like, and maybe over-optimistic attempt to get through a large number of sources. We didn't quite finish what was at the end of the sheet, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave Eliyahu HaNavi just for now and put that into Tchias HaMesim, which is, so we will cover the Eliyahu HaNavi discussion, but we'll see that there's a discussion about Eliyahu HaNavi, Tchias HaMesim as well, which we will get to when we finish, when we get to the last part of this series. But just to recap, and if I could remind you, please to turn your phones off, because it's important that we don't get musical accompaniment, and to keep your masks up, that will be great. Last week, we started this whole topic, and we looked at the Maimonidean approach towards Mashiach, which, as we saw, that the Rambam understands that there is a very clear distinction between Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa. Olam HaZeh is the physical world. Says the Rambam, Mashiach will be part of Olam HaZeh. Mashiach will be a political process. Mashiach will be a redemptive process. People will realize that they don't need to steal and they don't need to cheat and they don't need to murder. All the money that we put into weapons research in the world will go into medical research to feed the hungry, etc. And there will be a complete revolution in the world in terms of the mindset of humanity, but it will be natural, non-miraculous, and the world will continue in its normal way, but with a complete change of attitude. Itamar.
Will people die again?
So the question is, just to repeat the question, will people die again in this Mashiach world? The answer is absolutely for sure, 100%. People will live, people will die, people may live till they're 500-600 years old because of medical breakthroughs. But the natural world will still be what it is, because as the Rambam, and this is a source we didn't quite get to at the end, the ultimate purpose of Yemos HaMashiach, says the Rambam, is to do as many mitzvahs and connect to as many people and do as much chesed and learn as much Torah as we possibly can in this world, thereby connecting to God and thereby earning a place in Olam Haba, which is far in excess of what we could have done without Mashiach, because we're running around and people are chasing us and there's a lot of sorrows and problems, etc. So the purpose of Yemos HaMashiach is to give us the opportunity to earn Olam Haba, because the ultimate purpose is Olam Haba. Even more, Itamar, than what you said, the Rambam, we're going to see, says even after Tchias HaMesim, the dead who have been resurrected will themselves also die. Because, says the Rambam, for Tchias HaMesim, in his worldview, is another opportunity to do mitzvahs, another opportunity to connect in this world with God, with humanity, and earn a place in Olam Haba. But you have to die to get to Olam Haba, because for the Rambam, the ultimate is Olam Haba. So I think that's pretty clear. We looked at quite a lot of sources, and that, as I say, the Rambam dedicates two chapters at the end of Mishnah Torah. Chapter 11 and chapter 12 of Hilchas Malachim, he dedicates to the concept of Mashiach, and in that sense he speaks it out in the most detailed way, probably in a more detailed way than most other commentators. However, today I want to come on to, and you'll see that I've labeled this year, Nachmanides and the Mystics, which is a great name for a band, in my opinion, but if anyone hasn't used that already. But Nachmanides and the Mystics is a completely different perspective on what Yemos HaMashiach is. And we'll see that in many ways the Rambam was writing his position to quench any kind of rising mystical mysticism and focus on Olam HaZeh as being a spiritual and material place, and to try and get rid of that. But of course the Rambam's own work was so polarizing that it itself served as a catalyst for a massive Kabbalistic backlash that eventually made the whole Jewish world Kabbalistic rather than Maimonidean, to a large degree, anyway. But today is an opportunity to look at these mystical sources. I am not a Kabbalist, Anything that I tell you about Kabbalah is almost certainly wrong, and therefore almost certainly halakhically permitted to say whatever I say, because it's all it's not coming from a place of education of Kabbalistic thought. But we will at least brush on a few of these issues so that we understand where people were coming from. And at the end, I want to get to the issue of Shabtai Tzvi, who is one has to talk about in the context of messianic mystics. And we'll talk a little bit about the academic literature as well towards the end of the shiur. But the focus at the beginning, at least, is going to be on the sources. Let's have a look at the sources that the Rambam, if you like, was trying to avoid, which the Kabbalists and the mystics are focusing on much more. One of the platforms of the Rambam, as we saw last week, was that the Mashiach has to build the temple. That's one of the things that Mashiach has to check off to show that he's definitely Mashiach. Remember, towards the end of the shiur last week, we said the Rambam lists some things where you're becheskat Mashiach. If you do this, then it looks as though you're on the way. And if you do these things, then for sure you know that you are the Mashiach, and I'm building the temple is one of them. However, that is not agreed on by everybody by any means. Let's have a look at a few Gemaras. Let's start with number one. We'll also learn a lot of Torah today, independently of Mashiach, which is also obviously a very good thing. Says number one, Sukkah, Mem Aleph. Berishona, says the Mishnah. Haya lulav nitel b'mikdash shiv'a. In the temple, lulav was a mitzvah min haTorah 7 days. Outside the temple, or outside the mikdash, whatever mikdash is, the Rambam says mikdash means all of Yerushalayim, but most Rishonim say mikdash just means the temple. Outside the temple, it was just 1 day. But it originally, only in the temple was 1 day. Umabedina, and outside, whatever mikdash is, either outside the temple or outside Yerushalayim, depending on your perspective on mikdash, Yom Echad, the mitzvah of lulav, is just 1 day. Mishichar of Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hitkin, Rabbi Yochan, Rabban Yochan, and Ben Zakkai, Sheyehei Lulav Nitl B'Benina Shiva, that Rabban Yochan and Ben Zakkai instituted the idea of Lulav for 7 days everywhere, which is what we do now. Zeichel HaMikdash, that's one of the mitzvahs we do, Zeichel HaMikdash. Let's not confuse Zeichel HaMikdash with Zeichel HaChurban. Zeichel HaChurban means the things that we do to remember the destruction of the temple, the fasts and Tisha B'Av and Minhagi Avelis and breaking the glass and all that kind of Minhagi Avelis outside regular Avelis, I mean, in the lead up to Tisha B'Av. Zeichel LeMikdash means things we do to remember that there was a Bisa Mikdash. One of them is taking the Lulav 7 days, and this for us is the key at the end. V'sheyehei Yom Haneif Kula Osa, and that the day of the waving will be entirely prohibited. What's the day of the waving? So as you know, probably, the 16th of Nisan was the day of the Korban HaOmer. And of course is the day from which we start counting the Omer towards Shavuos. The Korban Omer permitted what was originally Chadash and turned it into Yashan. Meaning if you had grain in your granary back home, anything that grew, that took root up until the 16th of Nisan was prohibited until the Korban Omer was brought on the 16th of Nisan. From the second the Korban Omer was brought, that permitted everybody to eat from the grain in their homes. Not in the Mikdash. In the Mikdash itself, it needed the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos to permit the use of the new flour for Korbanos. But in the home, they could do it from the Korban Omer. How do you know when the Korban Omer was brought? Well, I suppose if you were there with your sandwiches ready to eat, you could watch them and then you could eat your sandwiches. But if you were back home, says the Mefarshim, says the Gemara, we assume that by midday, people had brought they'd brought the Korban Omer because they were very alacritous, they didn't want to delay it. So from midday on the 16th of Nisan, which is the first day Chol HaMoed in Israel, people were able to eat their grain. But once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabban Yochanan made it sakana that the whole of the 16th of Nisan is Asur. Why? So let's have a look at the Gemara, number two. Shehei Yom HaNeif, says the Gemara, my timer, why would you prohibit the new grain all through that day? Says the Gemara, Meheira Yibane Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash will be built very quickly. Meheira. Vayomru, and people will say, Ishtaked, last year, Milo Achalnu Beheir Mizrach, didn't we eat from the beginning of the 16th? Meaning, when there is no Korban HaOmer, there is a debate as to exactly what the halacha is, but at least one view, the view that Gemara is starting with, is people could eat the new grain from the very beginning of the 16th. There is no Korban HaOmer. What are we waiting for? There's no temple. So people will say, oh, last year we had our new grain from the beginning of the 16th. And they'll forget, oh no, last year there was no Beis HaMikdash, and now there's a Beis HaMikdash. And they won't realize, so he prohibited all of the 16th in case the temple is rebuilt. Hashda Nami Nechel, people will say, this year we can eat as well. V'inhu, and they want that these people lo yadi, they won't realize that ishtakid the loy have a beis hamikdash. Last year there was no beis hamikdash, therefore it was mutter the whole day. And from the beginning of the day, Rashi says sunrise, maybe earlier, it was mutter. Hashka de ikka beis hamikdash. Suddenly now there's a beis hamikdash. Or memate, only the omer allows it. Okay, so how come this happened so quickly? You know, if they were building the Beis HaMikdash in the run-up to Pesach through Shvat, Adar, Nisan, I can assure you all the rabbis are going to give in shirim that don't forget, there was going to be a Beis HaMikdash this year, you can't eat your Omer. They're just going to wake up and not know this has happened. So says the Gemara, De'inu Amos, when was this Beis HaMikdash built? Ilema de'ivni b'shitzar, if it was built on the 16th, meaning after the Heta already started, Hari hitzi herem mizrach, so that they don't need to worry because the beginning of the 16th there was no Beis HaMikdash, and pitzom on the 16th there's a Beis HaMikdash. Ela de evni b'chamisa, was it maybe built on the 15th? It was built on Yontif. Michatsa sayom olan tishri. So in that case they can eat it from the noon, because if there's a Beis HaMikdash everyone can eat it from noon. The Hatzna, because we said harachaykim mutari michatsa sayom olahalan, people who live far away, they can eat from noon as well. The fisher ain't based up in the based in mid atzlim bo, because the based in was very quick. So lot sricha, we need this rule of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai for the following case: the evening balayla. Maybe the Beis HaMikdash was built overnight on the night of the 15th, and they weren't expecting it. And yesterday there was no Beis HaMikdash, and today there is. Ineima, alternatively, samoch l'shkia sachama. Maybe it was built just before the end of Yontif on the 15th. And they weren't expecting it, and therefore on the 16th they weren't ready for this new halacha. What's going on here? How can the Beis HaMikdash just be built like this? How can they build it in the middle of Yontif? How can they build it in the middle of the night? Why is today, yesterday there's no Beis HaMikdash and today there is? So Rashi says, Inami, it's quite a famous Rashi. He says, Ikasha, if you want to ask a question, De Belaila Eino Nivne, well, you can't build a Beis HaMikdash at night. De Kaimalam B'Shavuos, he brings a Gemara in Shavuos, De Ein Binyan Beis HaMikdash Balaila. There's no such thing as a Beis HaMikdash at night. Dichsev ubayom hakim. The day the Mishkan was put up by day. V'loy b'chamsar. And you can't build a Beis HaMikdash on Yontif. Shul Yontif. Dikai malam b'shavuos, because we also have a Gemara in that Gemara in Shavuos. De'ein binyan Beis HaMikdash docha Yontif. The Beis HaMikdash doesn't push off Yontif. So he's got a problem, which is a technical problem, which is how can you finish the Beis HaMikdash at day, but on night? How can you finish the Beis HaMikdash on Yontif? We've also got a practical problem. Where did this Beis HaMikdash come from? So Hani Mili, so all these restrictions on building the Beis HaMikdash, Binyan Habanui Bidei Adam, is when the human people, people built the Beis HaMikdash as opposed to non-human people, okay? Aval Mikdash Ha'ased She'anu Mitzapim, the Mikdash that we're hoping for, that we're looking for, that we're praying for, Banui U'mashuchlalhu, it's already built. It's already in its final form. It will be revealed and come down from Shamayim, Shneemar, Pasuk at the end of the Shira, Mikdash Hashem Konanu, Yodecha, your hands have made the Mikdash. This is the third Beis HaMikdash. And I'm sure you've heard this idea before, and now you see the context, that the Mikdash will come down from Shamayim. So of course it can come down at night. We can't build at night, but Hashem can send it at night, he can send it on Yontif, and he can send it Pitzom like this. And one minute there's no Mikdash, and the next minute there is a Mikdash. So that seems pretty miraculous to me. If you're talking about a miraculous or non-miraculous messianic process, Rashi's approach seems to be, and Tosfos agrees with this, he brings on the daf there, that the Beis HaMikdash is coming down from Shammai. The Rambam clearly doesn't seem to hold this. The Rambam clearly said that the Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash. We will see next week, when we get to Mashiach ben Yosef, which is a whole different ball game, that Rashi also thinks the Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash. So what's going on here? Rashi is a steer between Rashi and Rashi. We'll resolve that a little bit in a minute, but we'll see it's more complicated than you think. There is another opinion that the Beis HaMikdash will be built before Mashiach comes. And I want to show you the sources. Look at number four. This is quite a famous, I say everything's a famous Gemara, right? It's only famous because the rabbi knows it. But this is actually famous because this is a song. And songs get things out there. Number four. Says the Yalkut, Loika Ge'ula Rishona Ge'ula Achrona. The original Geula will not be like the later Geula. Ki Geula Rishona Haya Lachem Tsar. The original Geula coming out of Egypt and coming out of Babel, there was a lot of Tsar. The Shibud Malchias, people were still oppressed. It wasn't the end of the Tsaros. It was just a stage in the process.
Sarubabuch is Achreha. Ava Geula Achrona, but the last Geula, the final Geula, Ein Lachem Tsar Veshibud Malchi is Achreha.
There will be no more restrictions, if there's no more oppression from the non-Jewish world after that.
Shana Rabbah Seinu, because the rabbis taught, B'shah Shemelech HaMashiach Ba. When Melech HaMashiach comes, Oymed Agag Beis HaMikdash, he will come and stand on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, for whom Hashmiah Lahem L'Yisrael, and he will announce to Yisrael, the Oymed will say, Anavim, Anavim, Higia Zman Gu'ul Askam.
And you can all sing the song later on, we don't have to have it now, but this is the Anavim song. Which for years my children thought they were singing Ganovim, Ganovim. But I said, no, those are different songs. So it's Anavim, Anavim. Okay, so it's a beautiful song. Mashiach will stand on the Beis HaMikdash roof. He'll announce that your Geula has come. But just step back a sec. I don't know if anyone thought about this when they listened to the song. Who built this Beis HaMikdash? Mashiach comes and he climbs on the roof and says, I'm the Mashiach. Clearly there's a Beis HaMikdash there for him to climb onto. He didn't build this. And in fact, the Gemara says this explicitly in the Yerushalmi. If you look for a second in number 5, here's a Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni about the issue of Revai. What's Revai? The fourth year of the fruit of a tree that grows in Eretz Yisrael is Kodesh, like Maaseh Sheni. The first 3 years are Orla and cannot be eaten. But the fruit that grows in the fourth year of the tree, if it produces, not all trees produce decent fruit in the first few years. And by the way, that's one of the reasons that the Mephoshim give for Orla. Since the fruit of the first 3 years is likely to be small and not very developed, etc., that's not suitable to bring yet to the Beis HaMikdash. The fourth year, you bring the fruit to Yerushalayim, you eat it, Batara in Yerushalayim, like Maaseh Sheni. So you have to bring the fruit to Yerushalayim. Or, like Maaseh Sheni, you can redeem it on a coin. Bring the coins to Yerushalayim and use the coins to eat food, which is Batara as well. Number 5. Kerem Revoy. Hayoli Yerushalayim ahalich yom echel akodsat. So people would, bring Kerem Revoy, there was a decree that you have to bring the original fruit, not redeem it, if you live within 1 day's travel of Yerushalayim. Why? Because we want the shukim, the shvakim of Yerushalayim, we want the marketplaces to be filled with beautiful fruit. Not just everybody comes with a bunch of coins. If everybody comes with a bunch of coins and then just spends it there, we'll be missing out on the beautiful fruit. So we want people to bring their fruit and sell it, etc., and eat it, etc. Umishirabu haperus, when there was a lot of fruit and there was too much already, people could bring the fruit and then redeem it and not have to bring it all the way into Yerushalayim. Utsanai haya badavar. And there was a tanai, and this is very interesting. That they could always go back to this original din, that they would bring the actual fruit to Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Yossi says, Mishichar of Beis HaMikdash, Haya HaTanai Hazeh. This Tanai was when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, when the non-Jews destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. V'Tanai Haya Eim HaSayshi, Bani Beis HaMikdash, Yachzor HaDavah L'Kemo Shehaya. Meaning, they had to make a Tanai. They had to say that we are allowed to reverse this Takana. Again, what's the Takana? The Takana was, don't bother bringing your fruit, because there's nothing to bring it for. Because the non-Jews control Yerushalayim, that they could release that Tanai when they rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and say, okay, now you can bring your fruit. Why did they have to build a Tanai into that? Why can't they just turn and say, okay, so when they rebuild Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, so there'll be Mashiach, and they'll be able to overturn everything. You can overturn if you're a greater Beis Din. As long as you are a greater Beis Din than a previous Sanhedrin, you can overturn previous things. So surely the Beis Din of the Sanhedrin of Mashiach will be the greatest Sanhedrin that we have. So why do they need to build in a Tanai? So the Gemara, number 6, says, Amar Rabacha, Zot Omeret, this is teaching us, Shebeis HaMikdash Atid Lihibanot Kodem Lemalchus Beis David. This is a very interesting source for those people who are excited to go and build a Beis HaMikdash next week, the week after. It's going to happen before. And the Tosfos Yontzev explains, why is it going to happen before? And look at the Tosfos Yontzev inside, a very important source. Number 7. Rabbi Yossi Nami Hutzruch Tanai. Rabbi Yossi needs this Tanai. Bipnei Shehatakana Haita Shelo Yehi Rishayim Lahalod Kedei Shelo La'ate Shvaki Yerushalayim Hanusunu Biyada Oivin. They said, don't bother bringing your fruit because we don't want Yerushalayim to look beautiful once it's been destroyed and the non-Jews are there. So don't bring the fruit. The af im yitbatel zehatam, and even if that reason goes away and they rebuild the temple and Mashiach comes, sheibani beis hamikdash b'mheir v'yameinu, and he's davening for that. V'lo yaha oisa beis din sheba oisa dor rishon levatel. Okay, they won't be able to just change this ki ulai lo yu gedolim mizeh beis din.
The earlier Tanai will not be overturned. Why? Because this later based in, when Shibani based on Migdash, they won't be bigger, they'll be smaller. How can that be? How can they be smaller? How can this later based in be smaller? Therefore, they need the Tanai. That's the point. They need a built-in condition that we can always reverse it if we need to, because we can't rely on the Beis Din being greater. Ki binyan Beis HaMikdash kaidem lemalchus Beis David. Because the Beis HaMikdash will be built before Mashiach. Ki de'isa b'Yerushalayim, as we see in Yerushalayim. V'kol sheken kaidem l'chias ha'meisim. Certainly before t'chias ha'meisim, it'll be early in the process. V'nimsa she'ad malchus Beis David. And before Mashiach is not yet come, yeh lo'ovim k'sas memshala aleinu. The non-Jews will still be in control over us. A little bit. Like we saw at the beginning of Bayis Sheni. Now, this is a very interesting source. This idea that that the Beis HaMikdash will be built before Mashiach actually comes. Therefore Mashiach will be able to come, will be able to stand on the roof, etc., etc. And I'd heard these sources before, but I'd never seen them inside until I, you know, prepared the shir, and therefore we should be aware that they are there. Rabbeinu Bachya on Vayikra, and we'll come back to this issue of Vayikra in a minute, talks about the Chazir. What's with the Chazir? Look at number 8. Hizkikan Arbachayas. There are 4 animals specifically mentioned in Parsha, in the Parsha there in Shmini, of animals which are not kosher. These are in the Arba Pesukim. These are 4 Pesukim, and there are 4 Galios, as we'll see as well. Kol chai v'chai b'posik b'pnei asmi. Each animal is in a separate posik. The Rimaz al Arba Malchus shir bizmanim chalukim, that there are going to be 4 kingdoms that oppress us at 4 different times. Kol echad v'echad galos b'pnei asmi. Each one is separately. And these are what they represent. V'darshu chazal, et a gamal, the animal, the camel. Zo Malchus Babel, this is Babel. Et a shafan, the hyrax. Zo Yavan, this is Yavan. Shebitla Torah mipnei Nevim, that they stopped Torah and from coming from the mouths of the Nevim. I'm not getting into that now. Fascinating how the Greek period ended Nevuah as well. Beta Arnevet, the hare. Zo Mir Madai, this is Media and Persia, etc. Sheasta et Israel Peah veHefker. They made Israel like Peah, like Hefker, la Hashmid la Rogul Abed in the Purim story. They just said you can kill all the Jews. And now the one we're interested in is the Chazir. Beta Chazir. So Malchus Golas HaRevi, this is the 4th Golas, Kegoin Malchus Edom. This is Edom. You've heard this idea before. Midrash Hanchum, because he quotes the Midrash, Lama Nimshala Malchus Zela Chazir, why is Edom, and Edom is associated by Chazal with Rome, with the church, etc., with the Western world, why are they compared to a Chazir? She'atid laHachzir ha'atara leYoshna, because they will bring back the original crown that we had to its glory. How are they going to do that? Because Beis HaMikdash number 1 and number 2 were built by Jews. Beis Rishon Bana Shlomo. Shlomo built the first one. Shehu Mizera Yehuda. He's from Yehuda. Beis Sheni Bana Zerubbabel. The second one was built by Zerubbabel. Shagan came Mizera Yehuda. Also from the Shevet Yehuda. The Nase Alidei Koresh. And Koresh, the non-Jew, gave them permission to do it. Shenasan Rishus Bezeh. Aval HaBeis HaShlishi Atide Umma Zol Livnosa. Who's going to build the third Beis HaMikdash? The Americans, the Russians, nay, maybe even the European Union. Then you'll know the Mashiach is on the way. Because they are going to build the Beis HaMikdash, says Rabbeinu Bachya. And that's what they say. What does it mean that Edom is a Chazir? Because they will bring back our Beis HaMikdash and they will build it. Because they destroyed it. Very interesting source. They're tucked away in the Parashat Shmini on Kashrus about the Beis HaMikdash. So you have 4 different views. Rambam says Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash. The Rashi seems to say it will come down from Shamayim. The Yerushalmi says that we will build it and Mashiach will come and stand on the roof and announce, etc. And Rabbeinu Bachya seems to say, well, the non-Jews will build it. They'll work it out. They'll bring in, I don't know, maybe the Chinese. They'll get it done most quickly. Okay, quite frankly, they can have it done in 15 days from beginning to end, probably overnight. And actually, the Malbim, fascinatingly, brings a pshat in a posik in Ezra, which talks about, and which reconciles what we've seen. Let's just use this Malbim, then we'll move on to the next stage. He brings a pasuk in Ezra about building the second base of Mikdash. The avadu b'nei Yisrael kahaina, okay, the levaya v'shar b'nei galusa, the people, the Jewish people, the Kohenim and the Leviim and the rest of the b'nei galus came and they built the temple. Chanukas b'ayis Eloah, they inaugurated the temple to God. Dana, this temple, b'chedva, with great joy. This temple. Why does it say this temple? Which temple? There's only one temple that they're building. Why does it say they inaugurated this temple? Says the Malbim. V'yasu chanukas habayis hazeh b'chedva. He translates it from the Aramaic. Kvar perish hakadmonim mashikos of habayis hazeh. Why does it say hazeh? Ki im haya zoichin, because if they had only merited it, as haya magia zmana geula asida, that would have been the final geula. The tekef, and immediately achar binyan zeh, after they had built this Beis HaMikdash, hayayored Beis HaMikdash min hashamayim, the Beis HaMikdash one, the spiritual Beis HaMikdash, the neshama of the Beis HaMikdash, would have come down from Shemayim, kemikdash shera Yecheskel asid lavoi, like the vision that Yecheskel saw of the third temple. They could have gone on straight on with the festival, the inauguration of the Yecheskel's temple. Ule eight ata, but for now in the second temple time, asu chanukas habayit hazeh. Shemilat dana, this word, this temple, Meire teaches us shemetzape al chanukas habayit hazeh. They were hoping for a future temple which would have this heavenly temple. So you see that you can actually reconcile to some degree, and the Malbim does, and says, when it says the temple will come down from Shemayim, it doesn't mean it's necessarily miraculous. It means there's the neshama of the Beis HaMikdash. There's Yerushalayim Shel Mala, Yerushalayim Shel Mata. That when we build the Beis HaMikdash, we need to also be on a level so that the Yerushalayim Shel Mata, the Mikdash Shel Mala, rather comes down and joins in like the Neshama and the Guf. And that's what they're talking about here, which is the same idea when the Churban happened, that the Gemara in Gittin says that the Jewish people had destroyed the Neshama of the Mikdash long, long, long before the Romans came and burnt it down. The spirituality of the Mikdash was destroyed. All the Romans destroyed was Eitzim Va'avanim, just bricks and mortar, because the spirituality had gone long before. So this, I just wanted to focus for a few minutes on this idea of the Beis HaMikdash coming down, or who's going to build it, because I think there is some confusion on this, and at the end of the day, there's still confusion, because we don't know which one of these opinions we're going to follow, and that's what the Rambam said last week. We won't know how it happens until it happens. Fine. But draw a line under that and move into the Rambam, because this is a long source in number 10, which we need to look at properly, and see where the Ramban gets this from. So the Ramban on Chumash, when he talks in at the end of Devarim about the ultimate tshuva of humankind, it says, "Umal Hashem Elokecha et levavcha." God will circumcise your hearts, mila of the lev. What does that mean? So let's look at this Ramban together. V'nira min haksuvim inyan zeh she'omer. This is what it's talking about. Ki bizman habriya, from the very beginning of creation, haita rishus biyad ha'adam la'asot kiritzoyna. Everybody can choose what they want to do, good or bad. Tzaddik or Russian. You have a choice. The kol zman ha'Torah kein, and this applies all the time that there is still a Torah. What does that mean, zman ha'Torah? Wasn't the ninth principle of the 13 Ikrim that there will always be a Torah? The Torah will never be changed, says the Rambam, Maimonides. The Torah will never be altered. Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebalpeh. Okay, we'll have a Sanhedrin. They can make changes. That's great, which are within the system, but the system will always apply. Says the Rambam, no, this is the Zman HaTorah, implying there's a time which is not Zman HaTorah. Kidei sheyeh lahem zchutz. We need this choice, and we need the Torah so we can have the merit. B'bechirasam b'toiv, when we choose good things. B'oinesh, and we get punishment, b'ritzoisam b'ra, when we choose bad things. But when Mashiach comes, that will change. You won't really have the full freedom of choice. Choosing good will become a new reality of the nature of the humankind. You will not want to do, we will not have the yetzer to do that which is bad for us. We won't even desire it. V'hi amila, this is what it means, the circumcision is carried behind in this pasuk. Ki ha chemda, the hataiva or lele, because chemda and taiva, these desires that we have to do all these things which we know are wrong, this is called an orla on our minds, on our hearts. It covers, it's a block that stops us from connecting with God. umul halev, and the mila, the circumcision of the mind of the heart, who shalloyachma v'loyitaveh, that we won't have these desires, they'll be removed from us, then in all the negativity they do. V'yashav ha'adam bizmanahu la'asher hayakodim chetah shel Adam arishon. And we'll go back to Gan Eden, an Edenic state, before the chet of Adam and Chava, because Adam and Chava, before the chet, they chose what it was natural within them. They didn't have a Yetzahara within them. They didn't have this conflict within them. They wanted to do one thing and the opposite thing. And of course the snake, the mashal of the snake, is the snake's not just a talking snake. The snake is the Yetzahara that is trying to get into them. And a lot of the midrashic imagery is very explicit. You know, they teach the kids in kindergarten that the snake wanted to marry Chava. That's not actually what it says. It's this idea of the Yetzirah wanting to penetrate the internal, you know, nature of humankind. And that's what happened, where they persuaded Adam and Chava to do the chet. And now the Yetzirah is inside them. They can't get it out. And now there's this conflict. We will go back, we will expel the Yetzirah, it will be outside us. And of course, by implication, it will say it explicitly, if we don't have a Yetzirah, we don't need a Torah. Adam and Chava never had a Torah. They didn't need Kashrus and Shabbos and Arias. They didn't need it. They didn't need any of those prohibitions. V'zeu Masha Amar Kosa B'Yirmiyah. And that's what the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah. He quotes this Pasuk. Hine Yayim Baimnu Masha V'charti Et Brit Yisrael. I'm going to make a bris, a covenant with the Jewish people. That Beis Yehuda with Beis Yehuda. Brit Chadasha. A Brit Chadasha. Oh, well, that's already, you're already getting into slightly thin ice. Talking about a Brit Chadasha. A new testament. A new Brit. The truth is, testament is the wrong word for a Brit. A Brit is not a testament. A testament is witness. Yeah? A Brit is a covenant. It's actually a very, very different concept. And it's important that the Christians understand the Bible as a testament. A testament being that this is there to prove that this happened. We never saw the Bible as a testament. It's a different thing. It's a Brit. It's a covenant between the Jewish people and God. And that changes the nature of the way we relate to Christianity as well. Lokabrit, says Brit. This is all Yirmiyahu. Lokabrit asher karati savasam. Not like the Brit that I made with your fathers. Ki zot habrit asher ekrotet beit Yisrael achrei hayamim. And this Brit that I'm going to make with you towards the end of days. Ayvam haheim, no mashem. Natati et torasi bekirbam. Because I'm not going to put my Torah right inside you. The alibam on your hearts, echtavena. I will write it on your hearts. Says the Ramban, back into the Ramban. V'zehu bitl yetzahara. This is the nullification of the yetzahara. V'asad alev b'tiv o ma'asehu haroi. And the heart wanting to do what is right for it. U'lekach amar. And odd. And Yirmiyahu goes on to say, V'ayiti lahem le'eluhim, v'heima yu li la'am, v'lo yelamdu od ish et ri'ehu v'ish et achav lomar du'u es Hashem, ki kulam yeidu oti. People won't be going looking for learning because everybody will have it. We'll come back to Rav Kook soon, that the day of Hashem will fill the entire world. Levikatanam the Agdolam. It's a completely new reality. And says the Ramban, ki halev adam ram rav. This yetz that we have now is evil from the very beginning of our lives. And we need to teach people. Elashid's battle yetzram, then it'll be bottled, there will be no more yetzahara, bizman hahu lagamri. And he finishes off, v'chein ne'emar b'Yecheskel, so too in Yecheskel, v'natati lachem lev chadash, I'm giving you a new heart in those days, ruach chadasha, eten b'kirbachem, v'asiti et asher b'chukai teilechu, v'halev chadash, says the Rambam, this new heart, this new mind, yirmoz l'tiv'ah, will be natural, the ruach lechefet rason, in the way that we desire or want anything. V'zeu she'amru rabbeinu v'higyin shanim hashay tomru ein lahem ein li b'hem chefet. There will days that will come one day where you'll say, I don't want anything anymore. That's there at the end of Koheles. He says, what does that mean? I don't want anything anymore. I don't want anything bad anymore. Ein li chefet. I have no desire to do evil. Ein li yumos haMashiach. That is yumos haMashiach. She'ein b'hem lo zchut v'lo chovah. We'll see the Gemara he gets it from. There's no merit and there's no demerit. No one will desire bad when Mashiach comes. He will naturally, mankind will naturally do what is good. Okay, we read a lot of that source, but this is very important. The Ramban and the mystics understand that Yemos HaMashiach is Olam Haba. Is Olam Haba. See, the word Olam Haba is terribly unclear. The world to come. You have to define it. The Rambam, Maimonides, says Olam Haba is the soul world. Mashiach is Olam Hazeh. The Ramban and the mystical view is, no. This world and the next world should ultimately combine. And at the end of last week's Shufa, if you remember, I said, from the Kabbalistic perspective, the lines that blur Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, the spiritual and the physical, are very much more blurred. The line, the distinction between, there's a continuum. God's emanation in the Kabbalistic understanding of the spheres is that God starts off as the Ein Sof, which is completely unknowable, completely infinite, completely unconnectable with in any way, because it's beyond human understanding. And then God emanates through different spheres, which are still infinite and are still divine, but they are more and more understandable, more and more relatable as the spheres go down. And the ultimate emanation of those spheres, the lowest sphere, emanates into this world as well. And this world is, and we'll get into the Arizal soon, is another level of emanation of God's existence on some level. Now, this already for the Rambam would have been considered to be heretical. And again, the way I explained it now is definitely not the deepest Kabbalistic or even any kind of Kabbalistic accurate understanding. But that's what we're really dealing with. And therefore, like I said at the end of last week's shiur, a malach for the Rambam, and the Rambam says explicitly, can have a body. He says, in Mimosa Mashiach, we'll have super bodies like the bodies of the Malachim. The Rambam says, Gewalt. Actually, he didn't say Gewalt because he lived in Spain. He said, whatever the Arabic expression is for Gewalt, says, how can a Malach have a body? A Malach is spiritual. You cannot mix the. Once you start mixing spiritual and physical, you're treading on thin ice, and you'll soon start saying God has a physical emanation as well. And Chas v'Shalom, Chas v'Shalom. So you see, these two worldviews are very different. And the Ramban here says that for us, Mashiach is Olam Haba. And Tchiyas HaMeisim, and all rolled into one. It's all part of the same thing. A return to Gan Eden, a return to before the Chetz of the Egel, the Har Sinai, we'll get to that in a second, where we live forever, we'll see right now. Look in number 11. We'll talk about immortality. Says the Ramban, and of course the Ramban wrote many things, including he wrote up his debates that he had with Pablo Cristiani, which of course got him into serious trouble. It wasn't actually the debate that got him into trouble. If you've ever read the disputation, it's written up in English, and there was a movie. Christopher Lee, I think, made a movie many years ago of the disputation, and it was very, very interesting. It's worth watching, actually. And the Ramban, of course, the dice were skewed against him from the beginning, but the king said, you can speak your mind, which was a big chiddush, and he spoke his mind, and he wiped the floor with Pablo Cristiani. And of course, he was found that he had lost the debate, because he had to lose the debate, and the king said, sir, I've never heard anyone argue so well and still lose the debate. So fine, so he lost the debate, he went home. But then the Ramban wrote it up in a book, and the king said, okay, that I never said you could do that. I said you could speak freely, not write freely. And then they threw him out. They sentenced him to death, and then they commuted that, and they exiled him, and that's when he went to Israel, and he wrote this up. Now look at number 11. His debate with Pablo Cristiani. V'hine Adam HaRishon Chaya Elef Shana. Adam lived for 1,000 years, pachot ayin, minus 70. Lived for 930 years. V'hine Meforish because of Sheba Avono Meitz. Everyone agrees, it's explicit that he died because he sinned. V'ilu lochata, had he not sinned, Chay Yosef v'Yosef would have lived on and on and on. Olam or forever. V'hagoyim v'hayuhudim kulanu moidim shechatu v'on sheshal Adam harishon yizbatel yimos ha-Mashiach. Everybody agrees that this chet will be removed when Mashiach comes. And therefore people will live forever. Im kein, achashiyavo Mashiach, yebatel mikulanu. All of us will have rid ourselves of death when Mashiach comes. Avava Mashiach atzma batel hu legamri. Mashiach will be completely free of it. The imkain roi hu Mashiach liot elef alafim. Mashiach can live 1,000 years, 2,000 years, shana olam. Mashiach can live forever. And of course, what's he saying? He's saying you think the Mashiach has already come, so why is everything still like it was? We should all be living thousands of years, if not forever. And your Mashiach made it to whatever 30 something, and then that's as far as he can get. So, but the point here is the Ramban understands Mashiach can live forever. The Rambam, Maimonides explicitly says, no, Mashiach will die. Mashiach has to live in the natural world. Maybe he'll live for 300 years, 400 years, naturally, with medication. But the Mashiach has to die. The Rambam says, no, death will be taken away. And in fact, I'm going to bring you now 6 or 7 sources about this idea. We'll see where the Ramban's getting it from. It's not just a Kabbalistic idea, the coming out of Kabbalistic texts, the Zohar, etc. Although the Ramban was, of course, before the revelation of the Zohar, but he still had a Masorah in Kabbalah. It's coming out of the Gemara. Have a look with me. Let's run through this quite quickly. Number 12. But God will eventually bring the Yetzer Hara v'shachato, and God will shecht it. Bifnei tzadikim, bifnei rishayim, in front of the tzadikim and the rishayim. Tzadikim nidme lahem kahar gvoa. The tzadikim, it'll look like a massive mountain. V'rishayim nidme lahem kechut hasara. And to the rishayim, it'll look like a tiny little hair. V'halalu boichim, v'halalu boichim. And everyone's going to cry. Tzadikim boichim, v'halalu. The tzadikim will say, they'll cry and they'll say, hey, chichanu ligvosh har gvoa kazeh. How could we conquer such a high mountain? We managed to conquer the Yetzirah. How do we manage? It's amazing. V'rishayim boichim, v'halalu. And the rishayim will say, they'll cry, hey, chlo yichanu ligvosh et chut hasara kazeh. How could we not manage to conquer this? So, the Rambam also has this Gemara. So what does he do with the shechting of the Yetzirah? Says Maimonides, it's all about. In Olam Haba, when we get to Olam Haba, as a neshama, we'll realize what we could have done or what we did do, etc. It's not talking about this world. There's no shechita of the Yetzirah in this world. The shechita of the Yetzirah is when we die and we go to the soul world. There's no more Yetzirah, says the Rambam. No, this is this world. Number 13. V'igiyu shanim asher tamru ein bahim chayfetz. As we saw at the end of Kohelis, there's going to come a time we have no more desire. Elu yumoysa Mashiach. Ooh, yumeya Mashiach. That's a bit more difficult for the Rambam. Because you can't tell me that's the soul world. Elu yumei haMashiach she'ein behem lo zchut v'lo chova. So what the Rambam does with this is an interesting question. Upligi de Shmuel, and this argues with Shmuel that Amashmuel, because Shmuel says, ein bein oylem azeli mozum Mashiach el shibe malchus bilvad she'ne'emar ki lo yechdal evyom mikerev ha'aretz. There'll never be a shortage of poor people. There won't be a miraculous world freed of all poverty. So the Rambam will turn around and say, okay, here's a machlokas. The Gemara presents this as a machlokas, and I paskin like Shmuel, which he does. He paskins like Shmuel that ein bein olam hazeh liyimosa Mashiach el shibud malchus bilvad. The difference between now and Mashiach is political. So the Rambam will say, I don't paskin like the first opinion. I don't have to, and I don't. The Rambam will say, no, we don't paskin like Shmuel. We paskin liyimosa Mashiach is a miraculous age. So too, number 14, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. All the Nevi'im only prophesied about yimosa Mashiach. Aval olam haba. We looked at that last week. That the Nevi'im only prophesied about Mashiach, not about Olam Haba. We don't know what Olam Haba is like. Upligi de Shmuel, and this argues on Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel says, "Ein bein Olam Azeli Mosa Mashiach Ela Shibud Malchus Bilvad." Again, the Gemara sets this up as a difference of opinion. There's Shmuel's opinion that Mashiach is political, but Olam Azeh, and then there's another opinion. No, Mashiach is the vision of the Nevi'im, etc. The Rambam has a slight problem here, which is more than the last source, because actually the Rambam paskins like both of these sources, both of these opinions. He paskins like Shmuel, that Yemos HaMashiach is natural, and he also paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, that all the Nevuah was about Mashiach. So how can he have his cake and eat it? So the Rambam, the Mefarshim on the Rambam, raise this question, and they ask, you know, how does this work? And they say, no, according to the Rambam, even Rabbi Yochanan understands that Yemos HaMashiach is natural. But it's utopian. Whereas Shmuel, he says it's natural and restorative, not utopian. It brings back the temple, but it's not going to be a perfect, perfect utopian age. But the Rambam will read both of these opinions as arguing that Mashiach is natural. So you see already sources that Mashiach, different approaches to what Mashiach will look like, already baked in, if you like, to Chazal in the sources themselves in the Gemara. Now, the big question, of course, where the stakes get a lot higher, is Torah. Because the Rambam puts that Torah not changing is the ninth of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. And there are many, many sources that seem to imply the Torah may indeed change at some point in the future. And the Rambam will have to, Maimonides will have to learn all these sources that they're talking about Olam Haba. When we don't need, meaning the soul world, when we don't need Torah, and the Ramban and the mystics will say, no, they're talking about Olam Hazeh when Mashiach comes. Let's just zip through a few of these. Number 15. Let's do these quite quickly. Tana Rabbanan says the Gemara in Nida. Beged sha'avad boi kilayim. Halachic question. I have a beged. I have some cloth, and I identified shatness in it. I know it's got shatness in it. But now the shatness test has gone back overseas and I can't, and I've got eight cloths and I'm not sure where the shatness is and I'm not sure which is. I've got a problem. I don't know how to get rid of the shatness. I'm not allowed to sell this to non-Jews because they might resell it back to Jews and the Jews are wearing shatness. They won't know what to do. But I can use it for a mace, says the Gemara Nida. I can use it for a shroud. Ah, but it's got kilayim in it. No, but like the dead do not need to do mitzvahs. That's not a problem. We are not allowed to do mitzvahs in front of, as it were, loeg l'rash, the walk around the cemetery wearing tzitzis, tefillin, davening, whatever, because that's like mocking the dead, that you don't know, you're not able to do mitzvahs. But this is, kilayim, that's not mocking anybody, they're allowed to have a shroud with kilayim. Amar Rav Yosef, zot omered, mitzvahs betelus la'asid lavoy. So Rav Yosef jumps in and says, oh, you see the dead can have a shroud with Shadness. This is telling you that in the future there'll be no more mitzvahs. Why? Because when they come back to life, they'll come out of the grave wearing Shadness. How does that work? The first thing they do will be an Aveira. No, because there'll be no more mitzvah Shadness. Shadness is gone. That's long gone. Amalei Abai, the Itemer of Dimi. So Abai comes in and says, Amar Rav Mani, Amar Rav Yanai, Lo Shano Ele Lesafto. Surely we only said this for the Hesbedim. Avala kovra osa, but to the kvura, you're not allowed to put shatnas in the, have shatnas in the shrouds. Amale, no. Lavit ma'ala, ama Rabbi Yochanan, afilu lekovra. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you can even bury them. Rabbi Yochanan tame, and Rabbi Yochanan follows his reason that ama Rabbi Yochanan ma'idich said, why does it say, b'mesim chofshi? The mesim a chofesh, chofshi, are free of mitzvahs. Kaven, shemes adam, as soon as a person dies, nase chofshi min mitzvahs. And this is the line, of course, which upset many people with Hatikva, Liot am chofshi biartseinu. This is the Gemara they got upset about. Because chofshi means chofshi bin ha-mitzvahs. Now, whether the Hatikva, the words were written with that in mind, or whether that's just an unfortunate like coincidence, I'm not getting into now. You can do a PhD on that another time. But chofshi bin ha-mitzvahs. So what does that mean? So the Rambam will say, yes, all the time that they are no longer alive, when they are deceased, they are chofshim in a mitzvahs. But if they come back, then they're chayiv in mitzvahs. The Tchias HaMeisim, they also have, they can't wear shatnas. Whereas the Ramban will say, no, chofshim in a mitzvahs means from now and forever, this person will never have to do mitzvahs again. Not in the soul world, not in the grave, and not in Tchias HaMeisim when they come back all over again. And the Ritva dissects this and brings different opinions as to how this works. I'm not getting into this now, I don't have time. But 16 you can look out on your own and see how he dissects this. And he brings different opinions. Some say mitzvahs will always apply. Some say mitzvahs will never apply. Some say they'll apply for Mashiach, but not for Tchias HaMeisim. You could have a middle position, right? If you think that Tchias HaMeisim happens after Mashiach, you can say, okay, well, mitzvahs apply when there's Mashiach, and then later, once people start coming out of the ground, then like all the bets are off at that point. You know, mitzvahs no longer apply. The problem is, the Rambam explicitly says, Mashiach has got nothing to do with Yemos HaMashiach, and Yemos HaMashiach has nothing to do with Tchias HaMeisim, excuse me, and Tchias HaMeisim can happen before Mashiach comes. Okay, we'll get to the Lubavitcher Rebbe in a minute. Okay, fine. Number 17. A few sources. Number 17, Rabbi Yochanan ben Shimon ben Lakish says the following, Rabbi Yochanan oimer hanavim v'aksuvim asidim libatel. The one day it'll happen that all of Nach is cancelled out. The Chamisha Sifrei Torah ain't asidim libatel, but Chumash will still apply. Mitzvahs will still apply, but Nach we won't need. Matam, why does it say? He says, Kol gadol v'lo yosaf, because the voice of Sinai, Chumash, will never end. Okay, fine, Chumash never ends. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar af Megillas Esther. Even Megillas Esther, the Halachas, and the Halacha L'Moshe Misina, etc., ain't on a seed in the battle. And this is all feeds into the question of, will we or will we not still have Halacha? This seems to be a good source for the Rambam. Because everyone here seems to still agree that mitzvahs will apply, that Chumash will still apply. We won't get rid of the Chumash. The question, will the Chumash morph into something else? Yes, sir?
I'm just wondering if you have time for a general question. Because this is such a complex issue. There's so many different viewpoints.
Yes. Okay, but they're based on psukim. Well, I wouldn't go that far. The psukim are based on nevuah. A gentleman's asking, these are all speculative to some degree. But they're not. They're based on nevuah, and they're based on Maamar Chazal, on which we base our...
No, what I'm saying is that we're not saying that people who have learned the psukim
right.
have this nevuah, but rather they...
Correct, and that's what...
They had an opinion. They're making one. It was making me think that when you have five opinions on this, you can't believe one because they're not a fact.
Right, right, right.
So, and the Farshim, the ones who did it, were certainly smarter than me. So what was it that impelled them to give their particular opinion?
That's a very interesting question. What was it that compelled
the environment that they were living in?
Right. Yes, that's a great question, which is actually beyond the topic, which is when there are multiple sources, what are the meta-halachic and even hashkafic contextual reasons that people go for this source rather than that source? Meaning there must be something else going on here as their worldview that is causing them to pick on this sort of... And that's a very good question. You see that you don't see that much with pure halachic questions like, you know, whether matzah crumbs are muktzah on second day Yontav is not dependent on anybody's worldview or hashkafa. But whether you can go onto Har Habayit, Bizman Hazeh, is a halachic issue with raw halachic sources, but the way you come to interpret them and apply them is very much a product of the worldview that you have on whether we should be proactive in Geula or passive in Geula. And that fascinating question. And there's no question that the Rambam as a rationalist is pushing in one direction and the Ramban as a mystic is pushing in a different direction. And I think that's what we're trying to bring out. But I haven't got time to go into that in great detail, but that's a great question. Okay, fine. Next, number 18. The Chagim. One day all the Chagim will be cancelled. But except for Purim. I bet you're relieved to hear that Purim is still on the list. I'm Rebbe Elazar. Af Yom Kippurim loy batel olam. Okay, so he says, no, Yom Kippur, we'll still have Yom Kippur. But Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos? Out. Forget it. Don't need them, don't want them. When is this? Because this also doesn't sound like it's in the soul world. This is in this world, no? Otherwise, what are we doing celebrating Purim in the soul world? That's the last thing you want to do in this whole world, right? Purim. Finally free of all the Mishigasim. But so this sounds like the Yomim Tovim are going to be cancelled. Number 19. Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Yochanan, B'shem Rabbi Menachem de Galia. La'asid lava called Korbanus B'talim. All the Korbanus will be cancelled. For Korban Taina ain't a bottle. Korban Taina will not be cancelled. The Thanksgiving offering. Kol Hatzfilus B'talus. We won't even daven anymore. The hoida ain't a betela except for Thanksgiving, and we'll see how that comes into the halacha. The havahu dichsev, as it says, kol sasam, kol simcha, kol chasam, kol kala, kol oimrim hoydu es Hashem tzivakot. That's the voice in the future of thanks. For zohodaa umiviim toda beis Hashem, and you bring a toda ze korban toda. So the whole system of korbanos will be changed as well. We'll see what Rav Kook does with it. This is also explicitly against the Rambam. And it's very interesting, I mentioned this before, Maimonides took the view that korbanos, sacrifices, were a temporary dispensation to account for human weakness. So that people used to sacrifice humans, he writes this in Moreh Nevuchim, we couldn't go from that to complete cerebral connection with God, we had to have an intermediate phase of korbanos. So animal sacrifice was this sort of halfway stage. And the Ramban goes ballistic. You can't say that. It's nothing to do with that. Korbanos was ideal. God wanted our korbanos. It's not just a concession to weakness. That's quite well known. But when Mashiach comes, their positions are almost reversed. Because the Maimonides takes the view that, yes, the halach will be the same. We'll still bring these same korbanos. We'll still be living in Olam Hazeh. And we still need to deal with our Yetzer Hara, and the Korbanos will never change. And the Ramban, who insisted that Korbanos were always ideal, says, well, of course, when Mashiach comes, we won't need those, because we won't have a Yetzer Hara. So you have to follow it through. Number 20, the Ritva brings, Amar b'Hagada, Lama nikra shma chazir, why is the pig called a chazir? She'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'chzir Yisrael asid lavoy, because the pig will be kosher. They'll be kosher pigs. That's why it's called a chazir. Look in number 22. Amar Rav Yudan, Rabbi Shimon, Kol Behemoth V'Liyasan, Kol Behemoth V'Liyasan, Heim Kenigin Shel Sadikim. The Behemoth and the Leviathan will be the food of the Sadikim in the future. Okay. V'Kol Mishaloi Ra Kenigin Shel Umas Ha'Olam BeOlam Hazeh Zochel Yirosa BeOlam Haba. There'll be food that's treif in this world that we'll be able to eat in the next in Olam Haba. We'll see how that works. Ketzad Heim Nishchatim. How will they shech the Leviathan and the Behemoth? These two great mythical monsters that will be the food for the tzaddikim in Olam Haba. So Behemoth no tzeis Leviathan bekarnav. So the Behemoth will pierce the Leviathan with its horns. The Kaira and rip it and kill it. The Leviathan notes the Behemoth bispranav, and the Leviathan, this massive sea creature, will pierce the behemoth with its scales, for nochro, and kill it through the piercing. Okay, that's very nice, but that doesn't sound like kosher shechita to me. The chachamim omrim, so chachamim says, no, zo shechita kasherahi, it still works as shechita, why? But lo kach tanin, because we learn in halacha, in hilcha shechita, hakol shechtim, ubechol shechtim, ole oilem shechtim, anyone can shecht, you can shecht with any kind of sharp item, chutz mi magal katsir, apart from a certain kind of scythe, okay, the magera or a saw, the shanim, mipnei, sheheim, chonkim, because they strangle rather than cut. But in theory, if you know how to shecht with the horn of a behemoth or the scale of a leviathan, it's a kosher shechita. So it comes along Amar Rabbi Avin Bar Kan and says, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, no, Torah Chadasha Meiti Teitzei. Why are you worrying about Hilcha Shechita? What are you thinking about? You don't need Hilcha Shechita. Torah Chadasha. Chidush Torah Meiti Teitzei. And the final source in this section, in number 23, is the one that takes us into Shabtai Tzvi. Hashem, this is a source from the Medrash. Hashem Matir Asurim. God frees those who are bound. It's Tehillim. Ma'u Matir Asurim. What does it mean, Matir Asurim? Yesh Amrim Kala Behema Shenitmeis Be'olam Azeh Matir Asam HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asid Lava. Like we said before, all the treif animals will be kosher. That's what it means, Matir Asurim. Because it's Matir Isurim. That's how they're learning it. God will release the Isurim, the prohibitions. The Yesh Amrim Einu Matir La'asid Lava. And the other view says, no, the animals will still be treif. So my Matir Asurim, what does it mean? What will be released? Ein Isa Gadol Min HaNida. There is nothing more serious in Averis Chayv Kareis than Nida. It's more serious than Kashrus, of a trefa animal anyway. She'aisha ro'edam, a woman sees blood, v'asra kodesh baruch hu lebal, and she's not allowed to be with her husband. Well, asid lavo matir, in the future there'll be no more Nida. V'games ha'nevim v'asruach ha'tuma avim in ha'aretz, it's a pasuk in Zechariah, you will take all the tuma away, v'ein tuma ele Nida, she'ne'ema ve'ele isha b'nida tumasa. We won't even have any sexuality when in the world to come when Mashiach comes. So what do you mean you won't have Hilchas Nida? Hilchas Nida is irrelevant now. There's not anything. Tehillah l'chashakenu, and he brings a proof. Shebalom shenigdar Kodesh Baruch Hu al Hasinai, God revealed Himself on Sinai, litin haTorah to Israel. Asa tashmish hamisha shlosha shemim, and they weren't allowed to be with their spouses for 3 days. Umak shenigdar aleim yom echad asra mitashmish mita matashmish hamita shlosha yomim. If for one day of revelation, 3 days they weren't allowed to be together, the husband and the wives. Lasid lavashe ashchina beinayim einam asurim. Surely, when the whole Shechina is with us all the time, everything's going to be asa. So it can't be nida. Therefore, ma matir asurim. Asurei maves v'asurei sha'ol. It means that the dead will be allowed to come back to life, but mitzvahs will still apply. So you can see these sources, which were buried, if you like, in the midrashim, almost waiting to emerge, were all there way before the messianic fervor that we'll talk about in the last few minutes of Shabtai Tzvi. I brought you in number 25. I'm not going into it now, but Rav Kook has a very important piece where he says that. Korbanos will come back, but only vegetarian korbanos. Ultimately, we'll start off with the meaty ones, the shlamim and the chatas and the asham, and we'll go on to the vegetarian korbanos, the mincha only, because everyone will have to be vegan or vegetarian. Why? Because the animals themselves will be able to connect with God through their own neshamas and their own brains, whatever that means. Okay, and he said the only reason we shecht animals for korbanos now is because the animal cannot connect to God except through us connecting to God using the animal. So the animal wants to be on your Shabbos table as a chicken on Friday night, or wants to be a korban chatas, because that's the only way the animal can be elevated. Human beings, you don't need to sacrifice, you mustn't, because a human being can do it directly. But when Mashiach comes, la'asid lavoi, the animals will be able to do it too, and therefore they don't need to be. You don't need to eat chicken Friday night. The chicken can connect with God in its own ways. Okay, fine. Well, that's Rav Kook we looked at when we gave a shir on vegetarianism and veganism. Let's just talk for a few minutes about how this became a very major issue. Shabtai Tzvi in the 17th century, in the mid-1600s, was a cataclysm for the Jewish people. Without getting into all of the details, obviously, Shabtai Tzvi was a false messiah. He was born in Turkey. He lived a rather unremarkable life until his early 20s. And then in his early 20s, he started doing very strange things, which I'm not getting into all of them now. And people started thinking he was more strange than they originally thought. He eventually married a Sefer Torah under a chuppah, and people said, that's just too much, you can't do that. And then he declared that he was the Mashiach, and he thinks he's Mashiach, and he walks around gathering something of a following. It didn't really catch on until he met his... every Mashiach needs an Eliyahu Navi, and he met Natan HaAzati, Nathan of Gaza, who was a very precocious and very bright young man, who realized he could monetize this in a very big way. And he persuaded Shabtai Tzvi that he was the Mashiach, and then things really took off. He marketed it well, communications were able to spread it through the world, and Shabtai Tzvi became a messianic figure, who was backed by many, many, many people in the Jewish people. Many people. And there's something of a controversy as to whether even people that we would have hoped would have said no and outed him also backed him. What of course happened is at the point at which the Shabtai Tzvi became a political problem for the Sultan, because he said, I'm going to take the crown away from the Ottoman Sultan, I'm going to wear it myself, and I'm going to lead the world to Imos HaMashiach, etc. So the Sultan said, okay, enough playing around. Now you have two choices. Either I kill you or you'll convert to Islam. So he said, fine, Islam it is, no problem. He converted to Islam, which caused a crisis within the Sabbatean movement. And most people realized it was a fraud. But some people said, no, only the real Messiah would convert to Islam, to, if you like, go underground to bring the sparks of Kedusha back from even the deepest recesses of the dark places. And there was a Sabbatean movement that went on through the 1700s into the 1800s based on these ideas. The Frankists picked up on this in Eastern Europe, Ukraine, and the Donme in Turkey, etc. And there are Sabbateans walking the streets today. In Turkey, absolutely. Gershom Scholem, you should now just mention for a few minutes, he understood, from an academic perspective, that Sabbatean heresy was a direct consequence of mystical Kabbalah from the Arizal. And actually, you know something? I think we need to start with this next time, because this is too important to rush. And Gershom Scholem draws a clear line between the mysticism of the Zohar and the Ari, a clear line from that to Shabtai Tzvi, and he says that the exile from Spain, the expulsion from Spain, is what triggered many of the messianic leanings of Kabbalah. And Shabtai Tzvi, he draws a straight line from that to Hasidut, where he says Hasidut was an attempt to take Kabbalah and put the messianism back in the box, and close the box, and put it back into the personal redemption of the individual and the psycho-spiritual growth of the individual in order to take it away from the messianic fervor of Shabtai Tzvi. But we'll see. It's a bit more complicated than that, and not everybody agrees with Gershom Scholem. And we'll maybe start with that next time. But today, at least, we have seen very clearly that there is a strong messianic, mystical element, which Maimonides clearly disagrees with, Nachmanides clearly supports, and if you're interested in the halakhic resolution, it's not clear, because the Shulchan Aruch actually paskens, just let's look at one last source in number 29, he says on Mizmor LeTodah, here's a halakha lemaisa, when you say Mizmor LeTodah in the morning in davening, Yesh la'omra b'negina, you have to sing it, you can mumble through Psuki de Zimra as much as you like, but when you get to the Mizmor LeTodah, you have to stand up and sing. Shekol Ashirois Asidos Libatel Chutz Mi Mizmozeh. Because all the tefillahs are going to one day be abandoned, apart from this one. By the way, this apparently was the question the Rav Eliashiv would always ask any young man who went to ask for his granddaughter's hand in marriage to work out whether he was a suitable yeshiva bocher. He would ask them what's special about Mizmor LeTodah. And if they knew the halacha, then, you know, they qualified. But I don't hear people singing this. But that's a separate issue. But the point here is the Shulchan Aruch paskening like the Ramban? That all tefillahs will be finished one day, because all korbanos will be finished apart from this one, in which case is he actually going with the mystical understanding of Yemes Mashiach rather than the Maimonidean one. But I'll leave you to think about that. We'll start next time with Shabtai Tzvi, and we will move on to Mashiach ben Yosef, who we haven't even mentioned. And then we need to look at Zionism as well, before we finally get to Tchias HaMeisim. Hopefully this is taking us in a positive path. We will end up with a resurrection. Ezrat HaShem.